Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Horse Field and my dear friend Rusty Arnold. You got to keep an eye on Rusty now. I watch him when he's got a horse. He doesn't run a lot of horses, but he knows where to put them. Yeah. And he had a 5-1 shot and a 10-1 shot win yesterday, and I didn't have either one of them. But hopefully today, beautiful day, a little chilly, but the horses like that kind of weather. And good card, not a stake today, but several high-class allowances, several maiden races, a couple of those baby races for two-year-olds. You can't bet on those races because Wesley Ward is always 3-5 or 4-5 in those races. But hopefully they'll be on the grass today, and I'll be watching.
And you hope you didn't hit the hip then yesterday.
No.
You were spectating, not hitting the hip at the windows, right?
I'll tell you, this weekend, there are so many cool races that I'm keeping my powder dry, as they say.
There you go. You got a big powder keg, you do. So you're okay. You're all right. Hey, a lot of interesting things happening. We went over Kenny Anderson. Obviously, you followed the Bengals when Kenny was there because he was your neighbor and teammate and good friend. But did you have a pro football team when you were a kid? Did you follow that at all?
I really didn't. I was
no Bears, no Vikings.
I really didn't. The Bears were decent back then. Mm-hmm. Had but I can't say I was a huge Bears fan. Not a huge NFL fan, really.
Wow, we got the Browns every Sunday, okay? And it's funny what you remember about the in their own orange helmets. And, you know, they were the first team with a dominant orange uniform process. And we always called them the pumpkin heads because they had that orange helmet, the little white stripe down the middle. And we got them every Sunday. And we would watch them on TV. And the one advertisement that sticks out when you watch something, they had a picture of a fall picture in somebody's backyard with the table, the leaves are falling, and they had this bottle of beer on the table. And you just hear two voices, no bodies, no faces. You hear this voice that goes, "Hey, Mabel, Black Label." And then they sing behind it, Carlene Black Label beer. And they were the official beer. I bet you there was some beer in that locker room that was Carlene in Cleveland. So I went to the old Cleveland Stadium, one time and saw a football game. It was cold and rainy.
The Mistake by the Lake.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, yep. Sir. Yep. And it was quite an event. I mean, they had what's now called the Dog Pound. I don't think it was called that then. This was back in the 80s. Maybe it was. But, man, that place was cold that day.
And it was huge. Didn't it hold 80,000 people?
Yeah. It was cool. But why I drifted into the Cleveland Pumpkinheads is this. They just signed Clowney.
Yeah.
And the number one pick. He's the number one pick. They got Myles Garrett, a number one pick.
On the
so
other
they got
side.
Bookend defensive ends.
I mean, look, it's a great move for them.
Do you think so?
I do. I think Clowney as a two is an excellent two. He's not a great one, but he can stop the run really well. He's still a great athlete, and Myles Garrett is an all-pro caliber player. The Browns got significantly better yesterday.
And, you know, they were on the right track offensively. Would you not agree? He's our NFL guru, you know, Dan.
I see.
So, yeah, they offensively, they were excellent last year. I don't think very highly of Baker Mayfield, but the other 10 guys in the field I do think very highly of, so I think it really helps.
You don't like Baker?
I think he's a game manager, man. I think he throws to a lot of real good players, and I think he has an excellent line, and I think he's got great running backs, and I think, yeah, he's kind of just there. He throws the ball when he really has to, but I think it's everything else.
There's been a lot of quarterbacks like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with them.
And really, they had to go out and get somebody because wasn't Watts, J.J. Watts, supposed to – weren't they number one supposedly on his list? And then he went –
They were up there, but, I mean, Clowney's better than Watts. Watts old and he's –
Ho, don't go there.
Oh, no.
Oh, process.
Clowney's better than Watts.
Right now?
No, just don't go
right
old.
Right now.
Don't go old.
Right now, yes.
Really? Ooh.
You asked me 5 years ago? Absolutely not. Right now, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, I think Myles Garrett's pretty good.
Myles Garrett might be the best defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I would, having watched him, and of course, we all saw Clowney at South Carolina, right?
The shot heard around the world, yeah.
Yeah, he hit that guy. Was it Notre Dame guy?
No, it was Michigan, I believe.
Michigan, he hit him. Oh, my goodness. That kid's still got a concussion, man. That's been 10 years ago, whatever. But anyway, my boys, the Pumpkinheads, they did a nice job picking him up. And I think the team, you got to watch him. Of course, every time we say we have to watch a team, usually they
go the other way.
They mess in your hat.
Yeah, but you look at that, and the Bengals are the Bengals. Pittsburgh looked like they were going the wrong direction at the end of last year. And Baltimore is still, I think, would be the favorite. But Cleveland's got a great chance to win that division, I think.
That you just led me into something I have on my notes sheet.
Okay.
All right. We left this discussion yesterday about your short-term check-bouncing type days with the Baltimore clause. And even if you're an ABA aficionado, okay, you might not remember
the Baltimore clause. Yeah. Well, what happened was, if you remember.
What were their colors?
I don't even know if they had uniforms. they must have, but we practiced when we were there. First, let me set it up. The ABA was on their last legs. There had to be a merger or the league was in trouble. Now, the league had some solid franchises. The Colonels were always a solid franchise. The Pacers were terrific. We talked about their three championships yesterday. Denver, when Carl Shear, Larry Brown, Doug Moe got to Denver, they were a solid franchise. The Nets, but there were a lot of franchises.
How about San Antonio?
Yeah. But there were a lot of franchises that were on thin ice. And so Dave DeBuscher was the commissioner. And the team in Memphis was getting ready to fold. And he said, well, we can't let these teams fold. We got to have enough teams to have a league. So he basically gave the Memphis franchise to two rock show promoters in Baltimore. And these two guys didn't have 10 cents to rub together. So the Colonels, even though we had won the championship, the Colonels had lost money that year. And so John Y. Brown was looking for a way to recoup some of that. So I wasn't traded to the Baltimore clause. I was sold to the Baltimore clause.
Oh, well, pardon me.
Yes. Now, I think Tommy Owens had to come back to make it look legit. But John Y. sold me. Well, these guys didn't have any money. We're up there. We were there for 10 days.
Training camp.
But instead of having 2-a-days, we all knew it was a joke and wasn't going to last. Joe Mulaney, who was my coach here
He was coaching the Claws. Joe and I got on along great.
And so we would practice. We would practice once in the morning. And then in the afternoon, Mel Daniels, George Carter, Coach Mulaney. He went from Indiana to Memphis and was with the Claws. We'd go to Bowie Racetrack in the afternoon. So we had our 2-a-days, but only one of them was a practice. We were there 10 days. Sherry and Sheridan was about 2.5, and I remember we had a parakeet. And we were in a hotel room in Baltimore. And I get a call one day from John Y., and John said, Dan, I'm getting killed in the media in Louisville. He said, if I get you out of here, will you say some nice things about me back home. I said, John, you get me out of here, I'll say anything you want me to say. So he says, come on down to room 212. I'm here in the hotel. So I go down to room. Now I don't know that he hasn't gotten a penny. The real thing that John wants to do is get the money. And so he's not getting paid by Baltimore. For me. So he has struck a deal with me to go to Denver. And so the payment for me, and I've heard $350,000 and I've heard $500,000. I'm not sure what the amount was. But that money came directly from Denver to John Y. Brown. But to make that deal look good, poor Robish had to go from the Nuggets to the Baltimore Claws.
Dave Robish. Kansas.
And so it worked out great. I mean, the next year there was no ABA, there was no Colonels, and we went in Denver, we went into the NBA. I think they played 3 exhibition games. They never made it to the regular season, but I think the Claws played 3 exhibition games, and then they, in fact, did fall.
Where were they supposed to play up there?
I have no idea.
They had no idea.
No. But it was easily the 10 worst days of my professional basketball career. But thank goodness we got out of there and landed someplace good.
I bet you heard it from Sherry when that check was rubberized, didn't you? I mean,
So I call Carl Scheer and I say, Carl, where's a good place to open the bank? He said, well, our bank, our Nugget Bank, is Bank XYZ. So I go down there and I've got this paycheck from the Baltimore Claws. And I open the account and they go back someplace and they come out and they say, sorry, Mr. Issel, this check is no good. So I immediately call Carl and Carl says, I'll come down and make the check good. So
really?
So it was only a bad check for about 45 minutes, but it was a bad check.
Yeah, that's a great story. Carl covered you? Wow.
Carl covered it.
How about that? Well, yeah. The Baltimore Claws. Somebody ought to have a Baltimore. What was your logo?
Somebody sent, I guess they had a logo, and now that you rock my memory, I think their colors might have been green and gold. But I have seen a Baltimore Claws pennant. Somebody sent me a picture years ago of a pennant that they had made up, but I don't ever remember. I think we practiced in the old Memphis Tams practice gear. I don't ever remember seeing a
Did you
uniform.
Keep any of that? That would be collector's
no,
item.
No.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Michael, I don't... Let me tell
Name
you,
Memphis Tams.
I wanted to forget those 10 days as quick as I. It was because I had a no trade clause. Ellie Brown, Sherry, and I and Sheridan were at Louisville Downs, the old harness track,
sure.
And I get paged. No cell phones, no pay phones at the racetrack. I get paged to the press box, and Ellie Brown says, Dan, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but we've traded you. And I said, Ellie, are you aware of the fact that I have a no trade clause in my contract? And with that, Ellie says, John, you better get on the phone. And so I negotiated some additions to the contract. I mean, I didn't want to stay here. I wanted to stay here, but they didn't want me. So they'd rather have the money, so I was ready to leave. But
you're going to get some of the money they'd rather have.
I negotiated some things, and I remember this is where I first learned the meaning of the word commensurate, because they were going to supply us with housing that was commensurate to what we had in Louisville. And Sherry and I just built our dream home out on Wolfpin Branch. And I don't know if there was anything commensurate with it in the entire city of Baltimore. But they would take, I'd go to practice and then go to the racetrack. Sherry and Sheridan would go out and look at potential places to live. And then we'd all come home and cry in the hotel room before dinner. And so no, I wasn't taking anything. I was just happy to get out of there.
Were the Bullets there then, the NBA Baltimore Bullets?
Yes.
Okay.
They were.
And I think they played at some place. And I remember this. We We played Washington or Baltimore in exhibition game our second year, if you remember, maybe third year, I'm not sure. But in recruiting the East Coast where you could drive in a car, we didn't have a lot of money. We only had the money that we could go out and ask people for when I was
now, this is
Charlotte.
When you're at Charlotte. Yeah,
so we did a lot of driving. Like we'd drive to New Jersey and we'd drive to Cincinnati or Columbus and get the state cars and do all that stuff. So I remember being in Baltimore one time and the Bullets were playing at something called the Memorial Coliseum or something close, Memorial Arena, whatever it was. And I do remember that. You know, somebody's got to. I mean, they're making up Kentucky Colonels. Somebody gave me one, Fabulous Phil Baker, maybe. It said ABA Champions 1975 T-shirt. Somebody's got to make up a Baltimore clause.
Lloyd Gardner just sent me, and I was right, the Claws colors were the same as the Oakland A's. They were green.
Or the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, and it was a sea, and in the sea are two lobster claws with an ABA ball.
In the middle?
Where does Lloyd come up with this stuff? With an ABA ball in the middle of the sea. Oh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
You know, I mean, really, things that go back a few years, teams, players, it's all coming back around. They yep. try to talk about situations, players, have shows about them. And I see all these different, like the Oakland A's, which were the Kansas City Athletics at one time. Right?
Absolutely.
So you see
stuff. And the Philadelphia Athletics before
that's right.
that.
That's right. And you had in Chicago, in the NFL, a lot of people may not know that, the Chicago Cardinals.
Who moved to St. Louis?
Yes, yeah. yes, yeah. yes. I remember that. It's all interesting.
Did you see Doncic shot last night?
I read about
it. For the Mavs.
How many of those? He's hit a bunch of those shots.
Mike, this one was unbelievable. They beat the Memphis team by one. He hits a now. Grayson Allen, who we all know, he is a 90% free throw shooter. So Dallas misses the shot, and they missed a free throw, and Allen immediately gets fouled. There's 2.2 seconds. Dallas has a timeout. Grayson Allen is a 90% free throw shooter and misses both free throws. He makes one free throw. All they can do, the game's over if he makes both of them. He misses both free throws. They call a timeout, and they inbound the ball to Doncic. And he is falling down. He's behind the three-point line, falling down, and he doesn't have a chance to shoot a jump shot. He pushes the ball to the basket, and it goes in at the buzzer. And they beat Memphis by 1 point. It was the most amazing shot I've seen in a long, long time.
1.8 seconds,
yep.
to your point.
Yep.
And I think he's in some pretty good company. Matter of fact, Kentucky's Jamal Murray had the record for fourth quarter or overtime shots until he made that shot. Jamal had that. And I think that puts him in the world of LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Damian Lillard has hit 37 of 106 game-winning, game-tying shots. Yeah, that was.
But that shot. If you haven't seen it, go to ESPN.com and they've got it's the first story. It's and they show the whole thing. They show the missed free throw, falling Allen. Allen missing two free throws, coming down and making that three-pointer.
I watched the first quarter. Allen was on fire.
He
like four or five three-pointers. He had 12 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. And he's been playing pretty well. He had 30-something a week or
yep.
two ago.
Yep.
But, you know, like we've always talked about, shooters can hang around that league for a long, long time.
Boy, they can. And at that point in the game, Dallas was trying some zone, and they You know, when you're used to playing man-to-man with a short shot clock in the NBA, shorter than college, playing a zone sometimes gets real loose. It gets real loose. And he just sat out there on the wing and was letting it go, man. He was on fire. I know I watched you. You wanted to call him the Memphis Tams. I know you did. I saw that look in your face. How about the two young kids in this NBA that recently got hurt, Wiseman? At Golden State.
Golden State.
And then Jamal Murray.
Both of them out for the year. And, you know, I mean, it's just terrible to have kids with their whole career ahead of them. And you don't know. I mean, the surgeries are so much better than today. I mean, those kinds of injuries 20, 25 years ago when your career was over, now they're able to come back. But you don't know if they're coming back as good as they ever were. Or I've seen some players who it got in their head. And, you know, they would run from contact and they would try not to get hit, so they wouldn't get hurt again. So let's hope both of those guys come back successfully from that surgery. I do want to mention one thing, Mike. Tonight is the draft for the WNBA. And the latest mock draft I saw has Dana Evans of U of L going number 6 overall to the New York Liberty. So what an exciting time for her and her family. You know, you go that high in the WNBA draft and have a chance to resume your lifelong dream. So congratulations to her, whether she goes 6th or wherever. Excited for her and her family.
What about the young lady from Kentucky?
You know, I looked through the list and I didn't see her name anyplace. Now, maybe they had the mock draft for 3 rounds and I didn't see, because I was looking for her, I didn't see her name anywhere. So I don't know.
Well, maybe somebody on the UPS jobs text line process can shoot us the update on the UK Howard young lady, see where she's going. If she's going, she might only be a junior. I have a hard time keeping track of all those years because people come and go so fast. And on the men's
right.
side, I thought, well, you know, on the women's side. All right, when you were GM, here's a question for you. And we've got Louis Dampier at the bottom of the hour, Yubi Brown at the top of the first hour. So we've got a lot of hoops to talk about. When you dealt with agents, did you ever deal with their financial advisors, the money managers of players?
No. The agents, I can't remember that any of the agents ever bought. I think those were conversations they had outside of the negotiations with the team. I can't remember ever dealing with the financial arm of it.
Well, the reason I ask was that Bernie Madoff died.
Right.
And I just wondered if you knew anybody that had money with him. I mean, he had a gazillion dollars he stole from people.
And did I read that he had like 36,000 clients?
A bunch. Yeah. You could be very close.
Yeah. What? Unbelievable.
Do you remember?
Greed will get in the way of a lot of people.
Wasn't there an agent or money manager who lived in Colorado that ripped off Jabbar and some other players a while ago?
Yeah. And I can't remember his name, but they wound up, I think, Alex English, maybe?
Was Alex involved?
One of my teammates had some money in that deal. But, it was nasty.
That would make you want to go. I mean, we're talking about, I guess, Jabbar from that was broke. And he had stolen most of his money. I don't know about Alex or anybody else, but that was a sad story. Makes you almost want to go find the guy and choke him.
Or worse.
Okay. Or worse. Yeah, I give you that. Okay, tonight you talked about the draft, but tonight Kentucky women's volleyball, Coach Skinner's team, opens up at 7 o'clock tonight. And something neat happened last night. I guess they have a play-in round, which I kind of like the first four in men's basketball. Morehead State five sets, overtime set, beat Creighton, the first NCAA win at Moorhead for the volleyball team ever.
In their history.
Yep.
Yeah, well, congratulations to them. That's cool. Now, do we know who they'll play next with the play-in?
Yeah, they play like the number – Kentucky's number two. And they whoever's number one, I can't remember. I think they draw into the number one slot.
So.
But that's so cool for those young ladies.
Absolutely.
And Moorhead.
Absolutely. Yeah. So enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy it while you can.
And as Kentucky makes their run into the NCAA, we'll have Coach Skinner and maybe one of his players along the way. We can find time to around their busy schedule out there. They are quarantined or in a bubble.
Right.
So, yeah. But Coach Skinner told us to call him anytime, and we'll certainly do that.
Absolutely. And good luck to them. It's kind of a bad situation in the fact that they would have had a couple of rounds in Lexington, and maybe would have even hosted the regional if they got that far. So it's too bad that it's in a neutral site. But I guess everybody's in the same position. So
they're pretty good. Yeah. I think Kentucky's really good.
Yeah,
and I've watched them on TV. Wasn't able to get up for a game, but I've watched them, and they're pretty good.
Well, did Coach Skinner say they have six ladies who can touch 10 feet?
I think that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Four all SEC players.
Yeah, you and I could barely touch 10 feet.
I know, man. It was an effort, you know. I had to jump on somebody's back. You know, it's amazing how I got 8 rebounds a game and you got 12. I mean, you know, we couldn't jump a lick and ended up with a lot of rebounds. But
Before Louis comes on, and you have to know that Louis is the most unassuming,
absolutely
humble human being you have ever met. And Mike and I adore Louis. But Louis kind of marches to a different drummer. I called him last night and I said, now, will you be up? Because he stays up at all hours
of the
night.
Watches the tube.
Yeah, and sleeps until noon. So I said, now, Louis, will you be up at 10:30? And he said, well, the phone's right by my bed. So process when you call him, let it ring, because he might be asleep when you. But my favorite Louis Dampier story, and I'll tell this because I don't want to tell it when he's on, is I knew that Louis made the Hall of Fame. I have a writer friend who was on the ABA committee, and he told me that a year that Slick Leonard was elected, he said Louis was a very, very close second, and I'm sure next year he'll get in. So, you know, it's all hush-hush, and you're not supposed to say who's on the committee and who you're voting
surprise,
for.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And so my friend, about 2 weeks before they made the announcement, my friend texts me, and it's a simple thumbs up, which I know means Louis has been elected to the Hall of Fame. So I say to Sherry, I said, do you think I ought to tell him? And she said, no. She said, remember how excited you were when you got the call and they told you you'd been elected? And I said, yeah, you're right. I won't tell him. So now they're trying to call Louis to tell him he's been elected to the Hall of Fame. And Louis won't answer the phone because he doesn't recognize the area code.
There you go. I do that myself.
and so it comes time that they have to make the announcement. And Louis doesn't know. And so he's vacuuming, and his son Nick comes in and says, Dad, I just heard on the radio you've been elected to the Hall of Fame. Louis says, that's nice, turns the vacuum back on and starts vacuuming again.
Oh, he's a piece of work. He is a very special guy, no question about it. All right, before we go to a break, Mr. Issel, and then we'll bring back Louis Dampier. I'm a huge Bond fan. I've got the Bond disc, you know.
James Bond.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I own some Bonds too, but I'm talking about James Bond. who was your favorite? Were you a Bond fan?
Yeah. I liked those movies. I like the one. Is it Goldfinger?
Goldfinger.
Was that the one where the guy threw his hat and snapped people's heads off? Yeah, that was my favorite. Goldfinger.
All right. When we come back, and we'll have Louis Dampier, and after that, though, somewhere in there, I'm going to go to a little Bond quiz for you, and for the folks at home. I was reading about today about the Bond series.
Well, good for you. That sure beats reading about landfills when you came in here yesterday. So,
well,
so that should be more interesting than how many pounds of food we throw away every year.
You wouldn't believe the text I got about, you know, being the czar of the landfills. You just wouldn't believe it. So, all right, well, let's do this. Let's process, take a break. And I've got to put some money in the meter, but I think I'll wait till when Louie goes off. But let's go. Process, take a break. This is Sports Talk, ESPN Louisville, 680-1057. And you can find us in the cloud also.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, 680 and 105.7. And we're very happy to welcome in our dear friend, Hall of Famer, all-time leading scorer in ABA history and three-point shooter in ABA history.
And one of the best sweepers in Jefferson County.
Louis, did we wake you up?
What Mike say there at the end?
I told him the story about you vacuuming when you found out you had been elected to the Hall of Fame. So he called you one of the best sweepers. He didn't say sleepers. He said he might be one of those too.
He's a pretty good sleeper too.
Oh, you got the sleeper right.
Yeah. My first question, Lou, is how in the world did Indiana, Purdue, and some of those other colleges up there around Southport, when you went to high school, how'd they let you get away and go to the University of Kentucky?
Well, I think I may have told you this, but I always wanted to go to Indiana, being an Indianapolis boy. But I went down with my godfather, Uncle Louie, to visit, and they didn't invite me. He just made arrangements because he was an IU grad. And we went into Branch McCracken, who was the coach at that time, into his office. And he said, well, Lou, you look over the facility, and I want to talk to your uncle. So they were in there about 20 minutes, and the only thing to look at was the gymnasium. So I looked at that, and I just sat in the foyer, and they came out of his office, and he looked at me and said, well, Louie, you have a scholarship here if you want it.
Mm.
And I knew right then and there my uncle just talked him into doing it. So that's when I made up my mind to visit Kentucky.
Now,
otherwise, I would have been a Hoosier.
Now, I've heard the story that Coach Rupp, by the time Mike and I came along, Coach Rupp wasn't doing any recruiting anymore. Joe Hall was doing it all. But I understand Coach Rupp did come to one of your games, but I heard he left at halftime. Is that a true story?
Yeah, even with me, he didn't do much recruiting. He had a man named Neil Reed was the one who came and visited with me and saw me play. But when he went back and told Coach Rupp, you ought to sign this kid, Coach Rupp had never heard of me. So he wanted to come see for himself. And it was in a regional game up in Indianapolis, and I think I was 9-for-11 or something the first half, and he left and decided to sign me. And I'm glad he didn't stay around for the second half because I didn't do so well that half.
Now, I heard that when he left, somebody said, Coach Rupp, don't you like Dampier? And he said, I love Dampier. It doesn't take me a whole game to see if a kid can shoot or not.
Hey, Louie, we've been talking Colonels, ABA, NBA, and we'll get into that piece of your career. But I think it was fascinating to me because Dan and I had to sit and watch you guys practice our freshman year, your senior year, in the terry cloth robes and watch probably the last half hour of practice. But yeah, you had that fabulous run in 66. One of the main reasons I came to Kentucky was because of Rupp's runts and what I read about him. And, you know, it didn't have TV and all that coverage, but it was just fascinating team to watch, to pass and shoot. The next year, it was a totally different story when we were freshmen. And that had to be tough for you going from, hey, let's just say you went from the penthouse to the outhouse between those two seasons.
Well, I made that trip a couple times because my sophomore year, we also had the worst record. I think we were 15-10, or I forget exactly what we were. But then we had that great year, my junior year, and then my senior year, we lost Tommy Cron and Larry Conley from the starting lineup, and they were our hustle guys and setup guys. So I had another, and then I set another record my senior year with the worst record. I think we were 13-13.
Yeah. Okay, and then so just missing the championship game your junior year, and now it's time to go pro. And you wound up coming to Louisville and signing with the Colonels. Who drafted you, or were you drafted in the NBA? I'm sure you were.
I was drafted by the Cincinnati Royals.
Okay.
I think I was third round or something like that. But and then the reason I signed with the Colonels in the ABA is because they offered contracts. Hmm. And at that time, $12,500 sounded like a lot of money. So I Cincinnati even had their number one draft choice, who was Mel Daniels that year, try out. They didn't offer contracts. They had you come up and try out first before they would sign you to a contract.
Now, did you think the ABA was a great opportunity? Did you like the three-point shot, or were you just happy to get the 12-5?
My main interest was playing. Cincinnati had Oscar Robertson and another strong guard. I think it might have been Adrian Smith were the starting guards.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think the main thing was just the guaranteed contract and the opportunity to still play basketball, which that's what I was interested in.
Hey, Lou, you and Daryl Carrier were as good, if not the best, guard combination, I think, in the ABA. But there were some other terrific guards and with quickness and could shoot the ball. Give us your opinion or who you thought were some of the top guards you played against in the ABA.
You know, the toughest guy I had to guard was I was, as you know, known for my defense. But I had more trouble with a name, James Jones.
Yep.
Jimmy Jones.
Yep. Jimmy Jones, yeah.
He's about 6'4", 6'5", quick, could shoot outside, and, of course, he took me under and posted me up. So, and then there was Freddie Lewis and Billy Keller, and there were a lot of tough guards. And ABA started out as a guard-oriented league, and so there were a lot of tough guys to guard every night.
Hey, I've got to tell this story, Dan, on Louis, because I'm a rookie playing forward in college, trying to make me a guard. So we're in the exhibition games, And Darryl and Louie would run after the other team made a basket. They'd run, take the ball out of bounds, and run down the floor and wait for me to labor up the floor with the ball. And they were at half court waiting. Give me the ball. Okay, I'll start the offense. They put me out on an island, and I was embarrassed many nights trying to get that ball up the floor. I wanted to be them and wait for the ball, but no, they made me bring it up, and it was a nightmare for a while.
And Louie,
well, you know, that's a lot of work bringing the ball up the floor, too.
Hey, against those guards, yeah.
Anybody guarding you?
Yeah, I remember when you got Bobby Talent kicked off the team because you wouldn't bring the ball up the floor.
We better not go there.
So Lou, you come to Louisville and you become an all-star and played on some great teams, and then in 1975, the ultimate, we win the ABA championship. That had to be very satisfying.
When people ask me what the greatest experience I had playing basketball, and I say it was the 75 championship in the ABA, because that's, I never won a high school championship. Or we were one game short in college, so I finally got my championship with the Colonels, and that was really satisfying.
Well, and the other thing that has to be satisfying is you were one of only two players to be on the same ABA team from the first day to the last day. Byron Beck with the Denver Rockets and Nuggets was the other one. And you wind up as the all-time leading scorer, all-time leading three-point shooter in the history of the ABA. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment.
It is. I'd laugh only because you've made a point of letting people know once in a while. If one more year in the ABA and you and Julius Erving and possibly there was another player, but I know you two, both of you would have caught me the next year.
Well,
if we had just played one more year.
Well, I'm glad.
But I can sit back and be satisfied with the fact that I did get to do that.
All right, Lou. Give us a texter had texted in and wanted to know, what was your favorite place to play on the road? And how were the crowds on the road in the ABA versus the NBA when you went over there?
I would say, except in a few places, sparse.
What a kind word.
He didn't name names. He just generalized. Hey,
I have to tell you, it must have been our rookie year. The Dallas Chaparrals were playing in the ABA. And, of course, the following year or 2 years later, they moved to San Antonio and became very successful. But, Lou, do you remember the night you and I counted the crowd in Dallas during the national anthem?
I think we did that.
You took one side and I took the other during the national anthem. I think we came up with 300 and some people were at the Dallas Chaparral game.
And that game was at SMU, the SMU arena on campus, right?
Yeah.
Well, we could draw a crowd, couldn't we?
We had a texter, Lou, that wants to know about the Colonels and your feelings with disbanding that team, and do you think they or some other NBA team could be successful in Louisville?
Of course I do. You know, if the Colonels would have gone into the ABA, we would have had even more of a following, I think. More people, even though we had good crowds in the ABA. But I think the city of Louisville and the state of Kentucky would have really supported us in the NBA, too. So I think, and we had a good, great team that would have been competitive. So it was too bad.
with the Cincinnati Royals, if you would have gone there, there was Odie Smith, Oscar Robertson, Arlen Bucky Bockhorn at the guard. You would have got time because you could do one thing that – and, of course, the NBA was a power guard league then. It wasn't a fast, quick shooting guard league. But, you know, with your shot, you would have played up there. But here's the real thing, Lou. You would have had to move to Kansas City not long after you joined the team.
Oh.
And, you know, that's further from home for you than Cincinnati.
Yeah. You're right. I forgot about that.
And I'm
so glad I chose the Colonel.
Yeah. And we are too. We are too, Lou. That's for sure. A couple more questions, and we'll let you go. You have to tell the experience and public speaking. I think you'd rather get a root canal than do what you're doing right now. Public speaking is certainly something that you shy away from. But talk a little bit about your induction into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, as Mike said, I was running the vacuum when my wife and her sister came up, and they had these sheepish grins on their face, and so, of course, I wondered what was up, turned the vacuum off, and she said, "Oh, you're in the Hall of Fame. You made the Hall of Fame." So here I am standing with the vacuum handle, that was a great experience being up there. Of course, I was nervous about it, having to do, like you said, all the make the speeches and public appearances. But that was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I sit back and I think, man, how lucky I am to have made the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yep. Not very many people make it to that level, Lou.
Well, let me tell you, it was long overdue. I think you would agree, Dan.
Yep. No.
This guy was a legend in the ABA, like Julius Erving and Dan Issel. So it was long overdue, Lou.
I appreciate you guys.
Lou, I've got one more for you. I know how much I love bragging on my grandson. I want you to brag on yours. You've got a grandson that the one time I saw him play, I think he made 9 out of 11. So tell us about Abram and his career right now.
Well, he just finished his freshman year at Cal Christian Academy of Louisville, and now he's playing AAU ball, being coached by his dad. And he is a highly skilled ball handler, a great shot, and he is all of a sudden, at the age 15, 6'3", at least. So it just amazes me that he can use his left hand better than I ever could.
Mm.
With his passing and his close-in shots with it. And the thing that I like about him best is he is, with all the ability that he has, he is a great team player.
Yep.
Finds the open man and makes almost perfect passes. So, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here.
I know how proud you are of him, and the one time I got to see him play in person. Now, didn't some publication or somebody ranked him as one of the top five freshmen in the state, didn't they?
Coming in, I don't know who it was, but of course Judy brought it up on her phone, and They had listings of seniors, to-be, juniors, and sophomores, and each year the list got smaller, But then as the got down to the freshman list, they only had five listed. And he was one of those five. So
okay,
I'm very proud of the kid.
Yeah, you should be. And I know you you had a lot to do with his development. You were Rob's assistant coach. Give us Abram's last name so people can keep an eye out for him.
Steinbrenner.
Yeah, Steinbrenner. And
he used to own the Yankees. Oh, that's Steinbrenner. I'm sorry, Lou.
Lou, we have been doing a little ABA Kentucky Colonels this week. We had Julius on yesterday, and we have Hubie Brown coming up at the top of the hour. We have artists tomorrow, but let me tell you one right now. You are my favorite guest of the entire week. We love you, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, guys. You know I love you guys.
So. All right. We'll talk soon.
Can't wait to see you now as this crazy time is over.
Yeah,
we'll have dinner.
All righty.
Okay. Thanks, Louie.
All right, guys.
Special guy.
He is special. I wished everybody had the chance to know him like we know him. When we went there, they were coming off going to the championship game against Texas Western. Louie and Pat Riley had been consensus All-Americans.
Correct.
The both of them. And here we come in, a bunch of freshmen who think we know it all and can play. And Pat wouldn't even speak to us. And Louie, for some reason, took me under his wing. When I had people flying in from the airport, of course, we didn't have cars as freshmen. He'd let me use his car to go to the airport to pick up my people and taught me how to cheat during Joe Hall's running program, cutting the corner at the top of the track. And so ever since, of course, we were roommates for 4 years with the Kentucky Colonels. I tell people there was a time in my life when I slept with Louie more than I slept with Sherry. So he's always been a special one.
Casey and I used to tell this story. We needed to get a haircut. Louie, we didn't have cars, so Louie had a place to get a haircut, right? And so we talked to him one night there in the dorm, and we said, when are you going to get a haircut? He said, well, I'm going on Tuesday. Just come over here to my dorm room, which was around from where we were, and at 3 o'clock. Okay, we'll be there. You guys can ride out with us. You know, that's beautiful, right? So we show up at 2:55, knock on the door, and I hear Casey and I hear Riley's voice back there. Who is it? What do you want? Because the door was locked. We told him who we were. We're here to meet Louie. We're here to get a haircut. He goes, okay, just hang around out there, and Louie will be here. Like out in the hall of the dorm, right? So Casey bitched and moaned at him about it. So he let us in, come unlock the door. And the rooms were small there.
Tiny.
Unlocked the door. And as we entered, he said, no, take your shoes off. You can't come in with your shoes on. The most uncomfortable 3 or 4 minutes till Louie Dampier got there to give us a ride to get a haircut.
And Pat's side, there were, you know, two sides to the small room. And there was a cot on both sides and then a desk and something else. And on Pat's side, it was immaculate. The bed was made. Everything on the dresser had its right place. And you look at Louie. Louie's bed hadn't been made in weeks. And he's got dirty clothes hanging on the dresser. How those two guys roomed together for 4 years is beyond me.
Opposites attract, Dan Issel. Opposites attract. Now, we're going to take a break. Process man, give me the chokehold back there. We're going to have Hubie Brown. Let you bring Hubie Brown on the second hour here. And so while Process plays whatever he's going to play,
okay,
I'm going to run out and put money in the meter.
In the meter, yeah. You
don't okay, want I don't ticket. Want to get a ticket. You if don't I don't come ticket. Back, then you know I've moved over to someplace else.
All right. Well, please come back.
Sports Talk with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. We'll be back.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.